B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Let's go to the Comcast Business Hotline, where you don't just bounce back, you bounce forward with Comcast Business. And Adam Schefter joins us on the show. And Adam, last Friday morning, you missed the opening segment of the show, but I did lead with an apology to Howie Roseman on that trade. Now, after the draft, I've been asking Philadelphia why so many people around the league seem to really think the Eagles did a really, really good job. But all I'm hearing locally here is, they did it again, messed up a draft. What are you hearing other people say about the Eagles draft, not the people around the Eagles?
What are the people saying that he messed up? I'm just curious.
Going with the risk, going with the risk injury with the Dickerson pick. Was the number one thing. I love that pick, by the way, but I wouldn't have had the guts to make it, Adam. I wouldn't, and I loved his game, so every game he played in college, love the kid, love everything I hear about him. I wouldn't have had the guts to make that pick.
You know, it's funny, I was talking to somebody the night before the draft, and they were saying that all I want for my team to come up with is Landon Dickerson. That was the guy that somebody I know, who's a thing and I respect, wanted his team to come away with. And so,
would he have been off the board, Adam? Is it true to say he would have been off the board in the next handful of picks? No question. It seems to be that's the consensus.
I believe he would have been picked shortly thereafter. Yes. Now, I said the same thing about Jalen Hurts last year because I think that that's absolutely true. I had a team last year that was going to take him, and there were mixed opinions about whether that did or didn't work. I mean, the player worked, but the circumstances surrounding it didn't. And so, I believe Dickerson would have gone shortly thereafter. I don't know whether that would have been 2 picks, 5 picks, 10 picks. I don't know. But, I don't believe he would have been on the board very long.
And Adam is brought to us by DraftKings, America's top-rated sportsbook app. Adam, now that the draft is completed, there's still a good amount of free agents out there. What's the timeline here do you expect for teams to now address needs, particularly the Eagles and cornerback, in the free agency market now that the draft's done?
Well, let me say this. Yesterday was the day in which teams could begin signing free agents and not have them count against the compensatory pick formula. So you noticed yesterday the Baltimore Ravens reached a deal with Alejandro Villanueva. Now, I believe that they had the parameters put in place to make it easy, and I think that they knew that he wanted to go there, and he knew that they wanted him, so that they just wait for the time for it to roll around, and then they finalize a deal that I think obviously both sides want to get done. And I think that's the case with some of these guys. But on the other hand, I say if you're still a free agent and you're on the street and it's May 5th, there's a reason for that, by and large. And so it's a situation where if you think that a team is going to come up with some sort of big answer in the first week in May to help your roster, the chances are that that's not going to be accurate. There might be a player you could fill in, sprinkle in here or there to help out. But, the best players are off the board, and they're off the board largely for a reason. Eric Fisher is visiting the Colts, and there are some other guys out there that could help a team. But, again, I would, there's a reason these guys are still out there. Whether it's injury or age or wanting too much money, miscalculating their market, whatever it may be, there's a reason these guys are out there. And so I would not count on a Super Bowl parade being planned with a free agent that a team gets done this week.
Adam, how much of a voice do you believe Nick Sirianni and Jonathan Gannon had effect on the general manager and the scouts as far as what they were looking for to be able to implement the kind of team that they want to build here?
John, I don't know the exact answer, and I don't know how to quantify that. I would just say this, that if you're in a room like that and you're a new coach and you're a new defensive coordinator, I want to think and I want to believe that there is some sort of collaboration. Like, I don't think Nick Sirianni was a wallflower and just sat there and watched the veteran general manager go pick his players. I don't think it happened like that. I think that I would be surprised if Howie didn't include his opinion and factor it in, and I wouldn't be surprised if Nick didn't speak out at certain points. Hey, I could see this guy fitting into our offense. That's what a good general manager does. He listens to his coaches and listens to what they need and the guys that they think would fit in into their systems. And then I'm not telling you you make the pick based off that, but it absolutely factors into the pick. It does. Like, if you don't do that, then you're a dictator. You're not a collaborator. You're not a team player. You're not listening to the opinions of the people in the room.
97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Shefty, we've heard Howie now say that Devontae Smith was the guy they really wanted and then the reason they moved up. Did it come into play, though, that the two defensive backs were gone before that and then they got up to get him? Well, so my question is, were all those guys on the board, a Jason Horn, a Patrick Surtain, were those guys on their board also and they got the best guy they could?
Well, I think they wanted the wide receiver all along, and in fact, I would even go so far as to say that if they had stayed at six, and I don't know that we'll know the answer to this, but I wouldn't have been shocked if it was either one of the Alabama wide receivers. And so they move back to 12 and then come back up in front of in front of the Giants, the Dallas spot, to go get a guy that I believe absolutely would have been in the conversation at six. Come away with the extra picks. And to me, you know, the interesting part would be, of course, that they could have taken the deal that the Giants took with the Bears, but they just felt like Devonta Smith was too good to pass up. And now, you know, we'll see how that works out, right? Like, would they have been better off with Devonta Smith, or would they have been better with the extra one, which would potentially give them four ones next year, and the 20th pick? Now, they would not have gotten a guy like Devonta Smith at 20, and you can take a look at the board and see how it fell to see the player, a player that they might have taken at that spot. But they just felt like Devonta Smith was too good, too valuable to not go up and get, which is why, like I said, I believe that if they were at six, I'm curious to that myself. Mm-hmm. Would they have taken Smith over Waddle or Waddle over Smith? I don't know, but again, assuming the board fell the way it did with Chase going five, Chase would have been a no-brainer, I think. But I think that they had love for both those Alabama players.
Tom Donahoe. Tell us about it.
You know, you know, the clip went viral, and I just think that when there are cameras on in your room, you've got to be aware of that at all times. And in society today, when people are out in public, they're constantly aware of that particular issue. And so I think that Howie and Tom lost sight of that. You know, Tom is not used to that sort of thing, right? So it's new for him. But with Howie, you got to remember that you're being filmed in there. And so I think he had a momentary lapse of judgment and how that was handled. And I think those sort of things go on in war rooms all the time. Like, it's very common. And it's regular that a certain guy doesn't get a guy that he likes, that he thought would be a better player. And you have little disagreements that go on, like I said, with every team, every year. But this one, my point,
was on camera.
Was caught on camera.
There you go.
That's it.
Howie, do you think Dave Gettleman was a little...
did you just call him Howie?
Excuse me, Adam. Jeez. I blacked out there. Sorry, Adam.
My name's Adam.
Do you think Dave Gettleman was caught by surprise when the Eagles moved up to take the guy, and do you think they were definitely taking Devonta Smith?
I think that Devonta Smith would have been their guy at number 11, and I think that it worked out very well for the New York Giants as well, because they were able to go back and get the extra one and the four and the five and got a treasure trove of picks from the Chicago Bears. Now, let me say this. If Justin Fields hadn't been there and the Bears weren't willing to come up and the Giants had to take a player at number 11, I would say, boy, they got it stuck to them. But they got it stuck to them on Devonta Smith, but it actually worked out very well. Now, I don't know what's going to be better. Let's see how Devonta Smith's career turns out. Let's see how the picks turn out. But it went from being, I think, what was a disappointing situation for that franchise into a win.
I want to know why the ESPN had you up on a roof. I mean, seriously.
Me too.
What is that about?
And by the way, let me say this. Friday night, like, I'm putting on blankets because, as I said to Pat when I called in, you know, if you're freezing, I went to school in Michigan and Chicago, okay? Friday night would be my top 10 cold moments in my personal history.
Oh, my.
And if you're cold, usually, like, how long are you outside for? If I were a sideline reporter for an NFL game, I'd be outside for, 3 hours and 10 minutes? 3:15? And I'd be in at halftime, and I'd go inside in between breaks. I was outside. I was on a roof in a little shed kind of thing that ESPN had built, where it was a wind tunnel.
It's terrible.
There was wind coming in, and I was in there from 2:15 to 11:45, so that was 8.5 hours straight. And it got, I can't tell you how cold it was up there.
Terrible.
And so I put on a blanket, and they put it on screen, and they font it 50 degrees. It was as much 50 degrees at night as I am 7 feet tall.
And they didn't put the wind chill, by the way, coming off the water, which is completely different.
They said 11-mile-an-hour winds.
And guess what?
I would say maybe 20-mile-an-hour winds, maybe more.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
But it just goes right through you. And I invite anybody on my ESPN team to go be... Like, I was with a few people. There was a stage manager, John. There was a researcher, Jacob. And to a man, everybody said how brutally cold it was.
And they were dressed differently than you, though. They got to dress differently because they were allowed to. That ain't happening to Woj, is all I'm telling you. You need to start throwing your weight around because they're not putting Woj up on a roof. So, come on, Adam. Let's get to this.
Let's just say there are little things that I'm going to remember.
Good job. Contract negotiations going to get dicey. This is good. Thanks, Adam.
All right, guys.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Shefty.
Appreciate it.
See you, Adam.
Have a good day.
Adam Schefter.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.